Come in. Oh, there you are, Hoskins. Come in.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Beadle.
Well, Hoskins, you'll be glad to hear we've reached a favorable decision.
You mean to say I've got the job, sir?
Yes, Hoskins, you've got the job. Now, if you'll just sign this contract, terms are perfectly clear. It is understood that for the next 3 years, you will carry out the duties of a cloakroom attendant.
Oh, thank you, sir.
That was an excerpt from Gentleman's Agreement. Another in our series, A Film to Remember, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Right Honourable Finjit Bolweed, Lemetania Corkright, the East Grinstead Electric Fan Dancers, Titch Longfellow, Miss Frieda Pheasant.
She's a game bird.
To continue, Ram Golightly, Zaza Huggett, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, which is chosen every time as the cleanest and most dazzling show when compared with any other show marked Brand X. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I wanted to order some tickets for a play by a famous Russian playwright, so I sent a check off. Then, on Tuesday, a very charming and attractive fortune teller came to see me, and one of the pieces of advice she gave me was this: always be ready when opportunity knocks. Unfortunately, just then somebody knocked and spoiled a beautiful opportunity. On Wednesday, I popped into my local department store where the winter sales were in full swing. And oh, those hordes of screaming women. Do you know, I spent half an hour fighting with an old lady over the same pair of socks. Well, it might seem a pretty shabby thing to do, but they happened to be the socks I was wearing. Anyhow, I was pretty lucky at another counter. I did manage to get 4 dozen for 5 and 6. I don't know what it was 4 dozen of, but, well, I mean, 4 dozen of anything for 5 and 6 is a pretty good bargain, isn't it? On Friday, Friday afternoon, I decided to go to the pictures. I hadn't been to our local cinema for some time, but the Regaldrome was always quite a cozy little place, and generally they had something well worth seeing. Good afternoon, Commissioner. Now, plenty of seats at 2 and 3?
No, sir. I'm afraid there aren't any seats at 2 and 3.
Oh. Well, perhaps you've got some at 3 and 6.
Sorry, sir. No seats at 3 and 6.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Not even one single?
No, sir. None whatsoever.
Oh, well, in that case, I shall have to go in the 7 and 6s.
Sorry, sir. No 7 and 6 seats either.
Good gracious, sir. Fine cinema this is. You mean to say you've got no seats at all?
No, sir. I'm afraid not.
But why?
Because it's now a bowling alley.
But... look, this is absurd. I mean, there's already a bowling alley around the corner.
Not anymore, sir.
You don't mean...
Yes, sir, they turned it into a cinema.
Well, I don't know. The way things happen these days. You know, I shouldn't be surprised if the next thing they do is to turn the television center into a place of entertainment. Oh, well, I'll... Well, I'll just pop round the corner and see what's on.
Seats at all prices, 3 and 6 on the left, 4 and 9 on the right.
Oh,
on the right.
Oh, excuse me, what are you showing?
Nothing, I hope. Well, of course, I did dress in a bit of hurry. I mean... Oh, silly me, you didn't mean that, did you,
no,
sir?
No, I did not. No, I meant, what have you got on inside?
There's a lavender grey and knitted string vest with a rather... Oh, I don't suppose you meant that either.
No. I've always wanted to meet someone with a good sense of humour.
Oh, have you really, sir?
Yes, I suppose I will one day.
Yes.
Tell me, has the programme started?
Well, there's a short on at the moment.
Oh, really?
And as soon as the electrician's fixed it, we'll be able to get going.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll just be getting my ticket.
I just remember the boy go in. Would you mind telling me your name?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's Kenneth Hall.
Ah, very good. This is quite an order. You go right in.
Oh, thank you. But quite honestly, I don't see what my name's got to do with it.
Well, you see, the management issued strict instructions. See, Mr. Alfred Hitchcock is not to be allowed in after the film has started.
I see. Oh, Miss 1, 3, and 6, please. Thank you.
First, there was an objection.
Good gracious, it's so dark in here, I can't see a thing.
This way, sir.
Oh, there you are, Miss. I suppose you want to see my ticket.
Not really, sir. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. What is it, sir?
3 and 6.
Oh, pity. I wish you'd been 4 and 9. I might have got a new bulb for me torch, sir. Here you are, sir.
Thank you. Well, I'll just sit down here, eh? Come on, Ingrid, be a sport.
No, Rock.
Oh, Ingrid, go on, please.
No, Rock.
Why not? You did last week.
Yes, but this is different.
Ingrid.
Rock.
Oh, Ingrid, please.
Rock.
Ingrid.
Oh, Rock, all right, here you are then. But honestly, I don't see why you can't buy your own ice lolly.
What a good idea. What a good idea. I think I'll have one. Oh, miss.
Yes, sir.
I'll have a banana. Oh, now, just a minute. Shine that torch under your face a moment. I thought I recognized you. It's Janet Waters. Well, now, Janet, what are you doing here as an ice cream girl, as if I didn't know?
Can I interest you in anything? Let's see. I've got creamy tubs, orange drinks, salted peanuts.
Now, wait a minute. What's that?
Oh, that's a song.
Oh, good. Then I'll have that, please.
I like the likes of you. I like the things you do. I mean, I like the likes of you. I like your eyes of blue. I think they're blue, don't you? I mean, I like your eyes of blue. Dear, if I could only say what I mean if I could mean what I say, that is, I mean to say that I mean to say that I like the likes of you. Your looks are pure delight. Looks like I like the likes of you. Mean what I say, that is, I mean to say that I mean to say that I like the likes of you. Looks like I like the likes of. Looks like I like the likes of. Looks like I like the likes of you.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Ah, now the feature film. I wonder what it is.
Twentieth Century Clocks present The Time Machine.
My name is Dr. Duckling. I'm a bit of a quack. It all started with a brief, fateful telephone call.
Hello, Doctor. You must come immediately. It's Daddy.
Ah, where are you speaking from, Daddy?
This is Angela speaking. Something's happened to him.
I see. Tell me, Angela, where are you at the moment?
I'm on the telephone. Please, come quickly, Doctor. Daddy has disappeared.
All right, I'll get down there as soon as I can. Will you be all right in the meantime?
Yes, I've got a good book to read. It's called What to Do Till the Doctor Comes.
Right. It was a summons which, as a scientist, I could not refuse. Professor Cartwright was the man who tended me on that fateful day when I'd backed into a Bunsen burner. Deep down, I'd always had a warm spot for him. Immediately, I headed for the Cartwright laboratory. Angela! Are you all right? Oh, dear, what can the matter be? Poor old Angela's locked in the laboratory.
Hi, Doctor. I'm here. I'm at the door.
Are you all right, Angela?
Yes, I'm all right. Oh, Doctor, it was good of you to come at a moment's notice.
Think nothing of it. I am your father's best friend. Who else could you send for at a time like this?
Well, these two gentlemen here, for a start. May I introduce Sir Charles Fetchwater from the Home Office?
How do you do?
And this is Freddie Forbes Fitz the First. Yes, he was helping Daddy with his experiment.
Pleased to meet you.
Well, gentlemen. Well, my dear friends, now that you are all here, just look up there. That tall thing shaped like a telephone box. Do you know what it is?
Well, offhand, I'd say it was a tall telephone box.
No, gentlemen. It's a time machine.
It's fantastic. A time machine?
You mean it's a tick-tock?
No, gentlemen. It's Professor Cartwright's most daring and ingenious experiment. A machine that can travel backwards through time. With this machine, it's possible to explore the past. With it... Doctor, you're not listening.
Oh, yes, I am. It's just a question of going in one era and out the other.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. This is no laughing matter.
Nor was that last joke.
Don't you realize? Daddy went into the time machine and he's completely disappeared.
That's true. Look. There's a note left on the machine. Gone to 1st century B.C. Back for tea.
Oh, poor Daddy. What can we do to get him back?
Well, look, there's a dial there. Let's turn it back to 1960 and see what happens.
Oh, Daddy!
Thank heavens, sir, you're safe.
Oh, you stupid dunderheads. There I was getting nicely organized, laying back in a palace on the Nile, all set for the time of my life, and you spoil everything.
Well, gracious Cartwright, you mean you were actually back in Egypt in the 1st century B.C.?
Yes.
Did you by any chance meet Cleopatra?
Rather.
Caesar?
I was just going to, and one of you hit from that dial.
Oh, Daddy, please, please get out of that contraption.
No fear, I'm staying here. I'm going for another trip through time.
You better not go back to Cleopatra. She's probably got the needle by now.
Got the needle, yeah. I'll go somewhere else.
Daddy, please don't go too far.
Oh, don't worry, Angela. I won't be a minute. I'm only going a few hundred years.
Professor, do be careful, sir. Whatever you do, keep clear of the Ice Age. This thing hasn't got antifreeze in.
All right. Now, you know what to do. Just spin that dial.
Right.
I say, Freddy, be careful.
Oh, bless my soul, look. The dial's come off in my hand.
Oh, no! The time machine is out of control!
What on earth are we going to do?
I can't understand it. We've got the dial back on and it still doesn't work. The professor hasn't come back.
Well, perhaps he got off somewhere.
Well, the way he was carrying on with Cleopatra, it's more than likely.
Now, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Why don't we go back in history ourselves and look for him?
Splendid idea, Sir Charles. Everybody in the machine. The bags out, please. The non-smoker.
Well, right. Here we go.
feel a thing. How do we know we're really going back in time?
Well, just listen to my watch. It's going tock, tick, tock, tick.
Let's stop.
Where are we now?
Well, look, there's a gadget. Read the instructions.
To check position, select temporal identification monitor. Right. T-I-M.
At the third stroke, it will be 1142 A.D. precisely.
Just a minute. I know this town. It's Coventry.
Yes. And look who's riding down the street on a white horse.
It's nearly a dive on.
Well, Doctor, what do you say to that?
Roy, get your ear cut.
Well, I don't know. We've looked for the professor everywhere.
Oh, dear. Poor Daddy. Where can he be?
Just a minute. I've got an idea where he might be. Leave everything to me.
I say, where are we?
What a new next stop.
Good. Just exactly where I want it. This is the eve of Waterloo. And that large house over there is where I think we'll find the professor. Come on. Follow me. Right.
Ready?
Daddy, what are you doing in that lady's boudoir?
Come on, Cartwright. We've been looking for you everywhere. You're coming back with us.
Oh, you rotten lot of spoil sports. Oh, all right, then I'll come. Goodbye, mademoiselle.
No, but you cannot do this to me. You cannot leave me after all you have promised.
Well, I'm very sorry, madam, and I'm afraid you must be prepared for a disappointment.
A disappointment? What do you mean, madam?
Well, stop me if you've heard this before, but not tonight, Sir Josephine. And so much for the time machine. Now a good time can be had by all with a well-geared musical machine that's controlled by the Hornets.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fella got shot, or his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cat's crying or ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm a-wondering why. Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the pooping and the hopping and the bopping and the lovey-lovey-dubbing.
Lovey-lovey-dubbing.
Let's forget about the whine and the crying and the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life. Now we lost old Marty Robbins in El Paso a little while back. Now Miss Patty Page, or one of them, is wearing black. Kathy's clown has Don and Phil, where they feel like they can die. If we keep on losing our singers like that, well, I'll be the only one you can buy. Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the lovey-lovey-dovin'.
Lovey-lovey-dovin'.
Let's forget about the whine and the crying and the shooting and the dying and the fella with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life. Let's think about living. Let's think about life. Let's think about living. Let's think about life. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
And so to the Kenneth Horn documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, week we present a close-up on London. What a capital city it is.
Provided you've got the capital. Well, now, first of all, let's talk to one or two Londoners. You, sir, what do you like most about London?
Well, I must confess that the seamy side of the city appeals to me most. I'm a sucker for spots like Soho, all those striptease clubs, and I'm also especially partial to semi-parties. Jam sessions in smoky, sordid cellars. And I'm not averse to a spot of shady speculation on slot machines.
Good heavens, sir, you must get into pretty bad company.
Yes. I'm afraid it's no secret. I go about with the worst set in town.
Now let's have a word with one of the latest innovations in the West End, the traffic wardens. Now, sir, you've been a traffic warden for some weeks now. How's everything going?
Fine.
Thank you. And now let's get an outside view of London from a visiting American. Madam, nice to see you. How do you like London?
Oh, I just think it's swell.
Good. Now, what interests you most?
Well, you see, I happen to be a very, very keen theatergoer, so naturally I just had to visit your wonderful old Vic.
Oh, yes. Now, what did you see?
Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, well, I'm afraid I was very, very disappointed.
You didn't like it?
Well, you see, I hate to say this about one of your better-known English playwrights, but you see, it's pretty obvious to me he just pinched the idea from West Side Story.
And I hope she never sees Pygmalion. Well, now we're privileged to meet one of the very familiar old figures of London, the fruit stall holder outside Tibbenham and Peabody's. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
That's absolutely fascinating, but what were you saying?
Oh, they say I was saying...
Yes. Yes, I know, but quite, what does it mean?
Well, don't you understand English? I said, get your lovely, shiny, red apples here. Everyone's a fruity beauty.
Quite incredible. Tell me, sir, how long have you had this stall here?
35 years.
How long?
35 years.
Well, I see you've got a pretty good display here, but what on earth is that ghastly brown shriveled thing hanging up there?
That, sir, is a melon.
Well, it doesn't look a very nice melon to me.
You should have seen it 35 years ago. Yes.
Well, now, London. Apart from being a vital center of commerce and industry, it offers a wide range of cultural interests. For instance, take art. Now, most Londoners are art lovers in one way or another, and you can be sure that wherever pictures are exhibited, you will find a keen and appreciative audience.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Charles, what do you think of this lot?
Oh, nothing very significant, Rodney. Quite like that one. Shows a certain depth and perception, I suppose.
You really think so? Certainly, I find it rather garish. And there's subtlety of line. I mean, the whole thing shrieks at you instead of gently coaxing you towards an ultimate denial of self.
I'm afraid I can't agree, Rodney.
Why not?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure.
Not at all. I myself prefer to take a much simpler appraisal. Well, take that picture there. Simplicity is its keynote. I mean, it has a simple message to convey, and it simply states it in the simplest possible way. You see, it's simple.
Yes. So are you, Charles. Well, now, maybe you can't appreciate the finer points of pictures like these.
Well, I must say, it's a pretty poor collection.
Well, we are agreed on that. But well, should we go and look at some more?
A good idea, Rod.
Come on, then. Let's go over to the other escalator.
London has many attractions to offer the sightseer. One can take a river bus and see many of the Thameside beauty spots, an organized coach tour to some of its historic monuments and museums. But by far the most exciting outlook on London is from the air. We sent our own commentator, Cecil Smith, up in a helicopter to get a bird's eye view of London.
Well, listeners, we've just taken off from the famous heliport at Battersea in this magnificent whirlybird, and already we're hovering over the ancient borough of Battersea. Over there, I can see the classical lines of Battersea Power Station rising majestically from a small bank of fog into a smoke-laden sky. Below me now is the gay, colourful panorama of Battersea Funfair, and one can almost hear the happy laughter of Londoners echoing from this playground of pleasure. Down there, I can see the Thames shimmering like quicksilver as it threads its way through the picturesque docks of Chelsea. I can also recognise the familiar outlines of the Battersea Dog's Home, or as it's sometimes known, Barking Creek. As we climb for height over the funfair, this fantastically maneuverable helicopter banks sharply to the left, then to the right, to the left, to the... I say steady on. To the... Ah! And this is Cecil Snaith on the Big Dipper at Battersea Funfair, returning you to the studio.
Finally, let us consider the many and varied interests of those who live and work in London. Among the millions of pleasure seekers can always be found the more serious-minded citizens who take a lively and active interest in political affairs. And indeed, any political speaker must be prepared to face good-natured and intelligent heckling.
And it is made perfectly clear in the policy statement that such matters must not be allowed to continue.
Build up your bald-headed old humbug.
Darling, you mustn't say things like that.
Aren't you built up?
Built up, you.
You silly old faggot. I can express my opinion if I want to.
You needn't be so rude, dear.
Why not? It's fair comment. He is a bald-headed old humbug. Besides, this is a democracy. Freedom of speech is the undeniable right of every British citizen. Ain't it?
Yes, darling.
Well, shut up, then.
I can't hear
you.
I can't hear the man speaking.
We intend to see you with all the power at our command. That this policy will be carried out.
And so should you be, a bright big snowdopping nose. What's the matter now?
You must stop shouting out things like that, my darling.
He's our MP, and I've got every right to heckle him.
Yes, Andrews, my darling, but not in the House of Commons.
Next week, when the subject will be the tire industry, what is it doing to stop inflation? Also in next week's program, the Eastern Electricity Board's brass band will be playing a selection of light music. We shall be having the president of the Noise Abatement Society, who'll be keeping quiet for 5 minutes. And there'll be an excerpt from the new book by an unsuccessful witch called Some Common Spelling Mistakes. So until next week at the same time, then, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. Are tall detectives paid by the yard? Good night.